If you've got your Bibles tonight, I'd like for you to please turn with me to Genesis. I've got just a few minutes to cover the entire Bible tonight, and you think I'm kidding, don't you? I'm not. I'm telling you. This morning's devotions was very good. I just love it when God moves in with you and everything. So we're going to be looking at several things through the Scriptures tonight. And most importantly, we're going to park where God says to park. I like it when God moves in. So if we will, in Genesis chapter number 2, I wanted to show you just some preliminary things. And there's a couple of words that the Lord showed me this morning and has really touched my heart today with a couple of words. And with His help, we're going to give those words tonight. In Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 8. If you don't mind, I don't know what your custom is here, but I like standing for the reading of the Word of God. If you're accustomed to that, if you're able to stand, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God? If you're not, that's fine too. But I want you to see right here in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there He put the man whom He had formed. Now I want you to get the idea here. Look what's going on. God made a place. And when God makes a place for a man, it's a good place. God doesn't do anything halfway. God made this place, and then He placed the man. And I want you to look at verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Turn over with me to chapter number 3. And I want you to see in chapter number 3, just a few verses over, I want you to look at the temptation of Eve with me. This is what's going on, but I want you to take a look at this. In verse number 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. I want you to take a look at this word, midst. I read you the word in Genesis 2 and verse 9. It said, the tree of life also in the midst, M-I-D-S-T, in the midst of the garden. And then in chapter 3, God makes mention of this word again. And she says, but of the tree, Eve said this of what God had told him, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden hath God said, you shall not eat of it. I want you to take a look with me tonight at this word midst. Father, we thank you for the time. We thank you for the blessings you've given us already. And Lord, we're sincere and we look to heaven and we say, wow, thou art God. And there is nothing too hard for you. Father, I yield myself to you again tonight. Lord, openly and willingly, yield myself, my mind, my lips, my thoughts to you. Lord, may I hear from heaven that I may, Lord, say the words that will be pleasing in thy sight, because when you're pleased, all is well. Help us tonight, dear God, through the Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. One of the things that I want you to see and that God has shown me this morning and as I studied today is this. In the midst, God uses this word midst throughout the Scriptures. He uses it a lot. There's hundreds of times, somewhere around 360, 364 times that I could find that God used this word midst. And the word midst that God uses, it signifies this, a surrounding, in other words, a nearby. In other words, it could be in the middle of or in the course of, God says, in the midst thereof. God uses that word a lot. And you and I, when we see something that God is using, and He's trying to get across a word to us or get across a thought to us, then we most definitely need to pay attention to what God's trying to tell us. And this morning and throughout the day, I was literally just meditating and thinking about this word, midst. I don't have time tonight to go through 364 verses of the Bible, and you're going like, praise God, you don't have that kind of time. Amen. But however, what we are going to look at is some of the things that God has really touched me about. As we're looking here in Genesis chapter number 2 again, let me just back up with you. I want you to see this. God created. And when God creates something, it's nothing shabby. It is good. God said so, because when God makes things, He makes them good. That brings me to me and you. When God makes man, when God makes woman, God doesn't make any junk. Are you listening to me? In this world today, there's a lot of people that go around and they try to throw down on you, and they try to put you down, and they'll try to make you feel bad or this, that, and the other for one thing or another. Can I show you something? The world is the world, and God is God, and I don't care what people have to say about what God's creation is, it's good. And I'm telling you right now, the things of God is good. And the things of God is still going to be good. No matter what God does, God is right. I want you to understand about, no matter where we go, can I show you some things about God? He's there. When we go somewhere where I'm telling you, we're in trouble or we're in distress or we're somewhere and we need help, can I tell you something? He's there. He's in the midst of His creation. Here in Genesis chapter number 2, this is not a real complicated message tonight, but it's one that we need to remember sometimes. It says in verse 9 of chapter 2, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden." As I also read to you in chapter 3 and verse number 3, it says again, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." So in the garden, in the midst of the garden, among them that were man, He placed man, He said, in the midst, there is this crop, there is this place, there is this special place that, listen, there's some things that I want you to do, there's some things that I don't want you to do, and God set the limits. All man had to do was obey God. Same with today. In the midst of things that we're among, in the midst of this world, in the midst of the people, there's certain things to do, there's certain things not to do. And you know the difference between right and wrong. Nod your heads up and down. Amen. You know if you should be doing something or if you should not be doing something on the internet. You know if you should be listening to certain conversations or if you should not be listening to certain conversations on any platform you want to go to. What I'm trying to show you is this. We have choices. We're in the midst of things. We're in the midst of good things. But when Satan is among the things of God, things have a tendency to not be so nice anymore. You know this. You understand this. But what I'm trying to show and in my life is this. I know where I should be. You know where you should be with God. Watch. Here in chapter number 3, here's what happened. As you know, the fall of man happened around verse 6. It says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Adam was right there with her. Well, yeah, I'm not going to go into this discourse and everything, but Adam knew the situation. Adam knew about what was going on. He was there. He was in the midst as well. And all, what I want you to see on this part is this. In verse 7, they knew, honestly, before verse 7, they knew what they were supposed to do, and they knew what they were not supposed to do. They knew. But they chose. Look what happened. Verse number 7, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and that they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." Look at verse 8. "And when they heard the voice of the Lord God," where was it at? Look at this. "And when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees in the garden." One of the saddest verses I've ever read in my life is this one in verse 9. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, Where art thou?" Where were they at? They were still in the midst. They were in the midst of the garden where God had placed them. They heard the voice of God, because during this time, God would come at a certain time and would meet with them. The indication is daily that God would walk with them, and that is the facts of what God does. He walks with us. He's in the midst of us, and He placed man in the midst of the garden, and He walked among them. He walked around them. He walked with them, and it was that conversation. It was that sweet spirit of fellowship. It was that time that they had together as God, and it was man with Him, and it was precious. But all of a sudden, God's in His place, but He's got to ask. In verse 9, "Where art thou?" It rung my bell this morning in my devotions. It rung my bell. I looked at that, and I'm thinking so much of my own life, and I look back, and there's times that, you know, God knew exactly where they were at. There was no question about that. And when I read this, I look at my life, and there's times I honestly walk real close with God, and there's times I don't walk real close to God. And there's times that I want to walk closer to God, and there's times that, listen, it's sometimes a roller coaster ride, if you will, up one side and down one side, and these type of things. It ought not be like that, but honest to goodness, you get busy, I get busy, and we can give every excuse that we can ever think of, and they're legitimate excuses in our mind. But reality is this: they're excuses. God was looking. He was where He was supposed to be. He was where, right in the midst of where He was supposed to be, and they were walking together. He was there, but they were not. And when I see this, and it says, "Where art thou?" God knew exactly, but what He was doing was this. He was trying to get Adam and Eve to realize where they were at now. You and me on this walk of life, you and me as we travel up and down these roads, and I'm not just talking about the physical roads, but the path that God has you on to serve Him and the walk that you have with God. Here we are on Wednesday night, and this is some of the cream of the crop, and you wouldn't be here on Wednesday night unless you really wanted to walk with God and you wanted to know more about God and you wanted to come and be fed from the Scriptures. But my point today and what God has put in my heart is this, is my question is what God said to me this morning, what God's saying to us now, where art thou? Where are you at with your walk? Where are you at today? Are things good between you and God? You know, sometimes what we do as humans, a lot of times, honestly, what we do, we know the things what we should be doing with God. We know that our walk should be a certain way with God. And then sometimes our time just slips away. Sometimes we don't guard our time. Sometimes we get a mindset. Sometimes we get hurt. Sometimes we get distraught. Sometimes we look at life, and sometimes life hits us. And sometimes things just bend, break, and blow up every day in our life. And sometimes we just can't take another step. And you know what we do? We temporarily quit. Christians don't quit. We don't quit on God. And God don't quit on us. But when I say we temporarily quit, it might be pain. It might be physical pain. It'll slow you down. I don't care where it hurts. It hurts. And that's the body. It might be heartache. It might be things you just don't understand. It might be the fact that you just can't understand why things are happening. Why does it have to be this way? Why can't it be this other way? Why do I have to, honest to goodness, it's confusion in my mind and I don't understand. Why is this? And you know what we do so many times? The Lord has to ask us, where art thou? We still go to church. We're still on time at church. We're still in our seats. But it's been a while that we've really been in the midst with God. Watch. This word midst, it's throughout the Scriptures. One of the places that I thought of was this, that God said this in the very first chapter of Genesis. He said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. As I go through the Scripture, there were so many more, but another one that stuck out to me was this, that in Joshua, when Joshua, they were getting ready to go into the conquest and retrieve the land that God had given them. He says in Joshua 3:17 that the priest that bare the ark, they stood firm on dry ground. It was in the midst of Jordan, and those priests with the ark of God and the directions of God was right in the middle of the Jordan River, and they got to see God do amazing things they had never seen God do before by just standing in the midst where God had told them to go. Then I saw another thing a few chapters later, also in Joshua. It was in Joshua chapter 7 and then verse 13. Another sad account, it says, there was, God told Joshua that there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. It was referring to Achan and his sin. Achan said that I took the garment. I took the thing that I wasn't supposed to do. I did what I was not. It was pleasing to the eye. It distracted me. And it was just, you know, it's just one of those things that I just wanted to keep for hard times or something. I don't know. But he said this. Where is it, they said? And he said, it's in the midst of my tent. All through the Scriptures, we're talking about these type of things. And then when I get over into the New Testament, it says this in chapter 10 of Matthew, it talks about, it says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." In other words, and he also said in that same Scripture, "Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." He says, "I know what I'm sending you in the midst thereof. I want you to be wise about it, though. Don't be dismayed. I'm sending you into some hard ground. It's not the perfect Garden of Eden anymore. It's full of thorns and thistles. It's full of heartache and sorrows. It's full of pain of all types. It's full of misunderstandings. It's full of just everything conceivable that you could think of, and some of you have experienced most of it, and it's this point right here I'm trying to make. It's nothing different than what He's told us about already. But it's how we handle it. It's our resolve. Do we back off? Where art thou? It keeps ringing in my ears. Matthew chapter 18. I love the verse. Chapter 18, verse 20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." You know why you come to church on Wednesday night? Some of you have worked hard today. Some of you don't feel good right now. Some of you, and the list just goes on and on and on, but you know what? You're here. Do you know really why you come to church? You're really wanting to get in the midst. You make the effort to be in the midst of the Lord. You really want more of God. You really want to see God do something. You really want to see God do it again. And you don't want to miss that. And you want to be in the midst of all the people that are here because they want the same thing ultimately that you want. They really want a closer walk with God. But you know what? It takes effort. It takes time. It takes a willingness, but it also takes discipline. Yeah, things are going to hurt. Things are going to bend, break, and blow up. But God asks us a lot of times, "Jeff, where you at, son? I thought you was going to meet me at your special place, me and you have got up in the room. I thought you was going to take time. I thought you were going to keep watch with me through a night. Where you at, son?" Sometimes God's got to wake me up out of sleep. Sometimes the body gets so weary. And the list goes on, but ultimately it's this. "Son, where you at?" And when I hear those words, I've got to say, "Yes, Lord. Where am I at?" Matthew chapter 14. Turn there quickly with me. Matthew chapter 14. I want you to see something. This is an amazing portion of Scripture here that's going to explain quite a bit. I want you to see this. The Lord used this in my life to help me and give me direction a lot of time, especially lately this past year. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22, it says this, And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now look, that word constrained means this. It wasn't just a suggestion. He really had to tell them, fellas, get yourself in the ship. Get yourself on board and go now. That has that idea of when he says constrained, he's really getting down to the point. Evidently, they were hanging around too long. They wasn't wanting to do something. I don't know if they could sense some issues. I don't know because they were fishermen. You know, all these things are, they could be. But Jesus finally, he looked at them and he said, fellas, I told you, get yourself on board and meet me to the other side. They have the direction. They did that. Verse 23. He goes back and he's on land. He's sending the multitudes away that he was with. But look at verse 24. Now they're doing exactly what he told them to do. They are in the perfect will of God because he specifically told them, get yourselves on board and do what I'm telling you. I know where you're going. I told you to meet me on their side. That's all you have to do at this point in time. Get in the ship and go. Okay, Lord, okay. Boat, journey, other side, got it. It's not that hard. But look what happened. Verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. I want you to get this idea. The ship that they were in, they were in the perfect will of God. They were exactly where they were supposed to be. They had the word directly from Jesus himself and what they were supposed to do. Now they're in the middle of, honestly, the midst, the middle. At this point, they were halfway. They were in there. They were tossed and fro. They were in some huge waves. They were in a storm. And in the middle of the will of God, serving God, what He said they were supposed to do, much trouble came. They didn't understand. Don't even tell me they understood this. Look what it says in verse 26. Excuse me, in verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Look at this right here. Verse 25, the fourth watch, that's from 3 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the morning. That means this. They had been in the dark. They had been in a storm. They had been, and it was tossed to and fro. These guys were slap wore out. Y'all know what slap wore out means, don't you? That means they were, done. They were like these guys right here. They were absolutely wore out, and they didn't understand why they were going through it. They were just doing what Jesus said. Look at verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. I'm telling you right now, you see somebody walking on the sea on the rough waters, that's going to mess you up. I don't care who you are. Saw somebody walking on the water, don't even tell me you'd be, oh, I'd be super spiritual. No, you wouldn't. You'd be going like, it's, what is that? Amen. Look at verse 26 again. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Can I show you something? Just a few hours before, they were with Jesus and saw him do all kinds of miracles. And now they don't even recognize him. They don't even recognize who he is. They're in the middle of the will of God. They're exactly where they're supposed to be. They were just with Jesus, and now they don't even recognize who He is because much trouble came. That's who we are. And the Lord said, son, Where art thou? Watch. I want you to see this. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. He didn't rebuke them for not knowing who he was. He didn't rebuke them at all. Do you know what he did? He came to where they were. He knew where they were at. He knew what they were going through. And let me show you what happened. Verse 28, Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and it began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Look at verse 31. And immediately, look what it says, immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him. Can I show you what's going on here? Let me explain this real quick. Look, Jesus said, go. Perfect will of God. They're right in the center of God's will. They're going. They're doing exactly what Jesus said. Then what happened? Storm comes up. They wasn't expecting it. Jesus knew all about it, but they didn't. They're in the middle of all this trouble. They're fearful for their life. They're in the middle of all this storm. They're in the middle of all this trouble. They're in the middle of all this, and they don't even recognize Jesus now when he comes to them. These people right here are just like you and me. What happens next is, when they realize it was Jesus, Peter's going like, hey, this is good. Can I come out there with you? Can I show you something? He steps out. Jesus says, yeah, come on, be out here with me. He steps out on the water, but immediately his eyes got off of Jesus. It got on everything else around him. Can I show you where Jesus is at? Him and Jesus are right here. He's looking at the Savior while he's on the water. And then begins to doubt and sink. Jesus is right here. He's right. Are you getting this? He's right in front of him. You know why I know that? Because he says he immediately stretched out his hand and caught him. He can't be far away for him to catch you like that. Let me show you the next words. Look at it. Verse 31. Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know what that wherefore didst thou doubt mean? Do you know what that means? At what point? At what point? Peter, son, at what point did you start doubting? Peter, have you looked lately? Where art thou? Peter, I'm right here in the midst. Where are you at? Let me show you something. Church, these disciples, do you know what they got to see in the middle of all the trouble? They got to see Jesus like they have never seen Jesus before. In the middle of your trouble, it's not time to quit. It's not time to give up. You need to look at yourself and you need to ask yourself the question, where am I? Because these guys hadn't expected to be in a storm and have all the trouble because they were doing what Jesus said do. But in this point of their life and all the trouble that they are now in, they have never seen Jesus like they got to see him this time. I don't know what you're going through, church. I don't know what you're going through. But I do know this. God's just trying to increase your faith. God is not upset with you. God's trying to increase your faith. Where are you at? Look what it says one last time in verse number 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him. Because you know why? He's right there in the midst. And he said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? In other words, at what point did you start doubting? Son, where art thou? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the blessings you've given us.